Welcome to the Sisters in Christ podcast. Today, we begin our two-part series on the topic, The Two Shall Be One. Marriage is God's idea. It's not just a cultural or legal agreement. It's a divine covenant between two people and their creator. From the very beginning, God established marriage as a union of purpose, oneness, and partnership. In Genesis 2:18, God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And when Eve was created, Adam didn't just see a companion. He saw himself reflected in another. "Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh," he said. This episode is all about God's original intent for marriage. Not perfection, but partnership. Not control, but covenant. Not individualism, but unity. So whether you are single, newlywed, or married for decades, this episode is for you. So get your coffee, your tea, your favorite drink, as Pam would usually say, and come on this journey with us. The two shall be one, marriage and unity. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you, Tamara.
This is a very timely and, in Daryl Miller's words, provocative topic. Are you prepared? You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready to discuss it in accordance with the word of God.
Yes. So we know marriage is biblical. Mm-hmm. And we see it in Genesis 2:24. It speaks about the two becoming one flesh. What does flesh look like, particularly in a modern marriage?
Well, Tamara, I think a very important scripture, Genesis chapter 2, verses 24, when it talks about the two shall be one flesh. And one flesh for me is a covenant union, and that's spiritually, emotionally, and physically. When I was growing up, I went to lots of weddings. My mom has a very, very big family, so I had lots of cousins. And when they got married, they would invite us when my mom was working. So I would go with my aunt or another cousin. And marriage was so mystical, you know. It's two people in love, the white dress, the music. And I totally enjoyed it. And never did I think of marriage from a biblical perspective, so to speak. It was just two people love each other, so they came together and to be one. And you always hear that one flesh. And I always thought that was when what they meant when the marriage was consummated.
Yes.
One flesh. But in studying God's word, I see that it is more than that. And if we go back to the creator, who designed marriage, I think it will help us a lot in living out his purpose for two individuals in marriage.
Yeah, it goes beyond, I mean, the natural is a physical connection, right? We mm-hmm. think about that first. But then we talk about an emotional and spiritual bond, which represents a deep emotional and spiritual connection between a husband and a wife. Mm-hmm. In marriage, you have two distinct people, two distinct individuals coming from varying backgrounds and experiences, becoming deeply united.
And being one.
Being one, sharing life together, purpose and identity. And that way it mirrors almost the relationship, not almost, but scripture says it should reflect the relationship between Christ
and his church.
So there's a mutual commitment and a mutual and unity.
And this oneness, Tamara, is not an overnight thing. It takes time. It takes work. And we have to be intentional. Oneness is saying, I'm all in with you, for you, before God. And it involves a deep tomorrow, trust, and a lifelong, I believe, commitment. Growing together spiritually and emotionally and physically. Yes. But I think two important aspects, the spiritual and the emotional, no matter what life brings. I mean, they go to the routine for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. You know, everybody has to say that for those who go to the traditional marriage.
And wedding vows.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you say it because you're in love. And while I feel that love is important, you need more than love to sustain a marriage. Because sometimes you don't feel in love.
No.
And what do you then?
Love is more than a feeling. It's an action word. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. It's kind. It keeps no record of wrong. And when you enter into marriage, it's for the long haul. You know, you don't go in thinking, if this, if that, then this, then that. A Christian marriage, in the sense, is we are working towards oneness and unity in this covenant, that whatever betides, whatever comes our way, we will work together to overcome it. Mm-hmm. We will work together to overcome the challenges with Christ at the center. And so, because marriage is God's idea, when we think about unity and oneness, he has to be at the center to glue us all together. Because if he's not there, then the purpose would more be on our own efforts and our own abilities to carry on this union. But when we have him, he will give us the help. He will give us the wisdom to be able to relate to each other in a way that will honor him.
Yep. Yep. And it's a 100%, 100%, not 50-50.
It's because, all in.
Yeah, that other 50 may be stronger than the 50 you want to hold yourself, your union together. So it has to be each party giving their all, 100% to this, knowing that it's not going to always be easy, but that upfront commitment is choosing each other daily and learning to forgive freely. You said it's like the church. The word says marriage is like Christ and his bride, the church. And if you want to know how that works, you study Christ.
Yeah.
And Christ's relationship to the church, and that's what he expects.
And he gave himself up for the church.
Yes, sacrificial love.
He sacrificially gave himself up for the church. And just how we serve Christ, the Lord tells us in his word that we ought to serve and submit to our husbands as unto the Lord.
Right.
Right. So we have these commands in his word on how we ought to relate to each other in a marriage. And that's laid out for us, that we should honor and obey them, because they bring, in honoring and obeying them, they bring honor and glory to God. You know, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So he encouraged husbands to love. He encourages wives to submit. And then he encourages children to obey. So it all brings, you know, a unity and harmony within the family structure. But when we talk about emotional and spiritual unity, power. You know, it's easy to say, but what does that look like? How does a couple cultivate emotional and spiritual unity? Not just physical. You know, becoming one is a spiritual and emotional and physical journey. So how does a couple cultivate emotional and spiritual unity?
Tamara, I think it has to be intentional.
Yeah.
Intentional communication. Sharing your thoughts, feelings, struggles openly. James 1 and 19, I think, is a very important scripture. Be quick to listen and slow to speak.
And slow to get angry, too.
And slow to get angry. And so for us, you know, sometimes we as women, we get anxious and we want to, you know, get in there and say what we want to say, how we want to say. But I learned in life, sometimes you just have to be still.
Yes.
You don't say what comes to your mind.
Hold your peace.
Hold it back and hold your peace. See, it goes back to what you were saying. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then wives, submit to your husband. So if we are operating in our roles, it's supposed to be easier. Because if your husband is giving that sacrificial love, just like Christ, if the husband wants to know what this word was talking about, he would study Christ mm-hmm. and his relationship to the church. And when he is giving that, and then you could submit, be supposed to submit, but it would be easier to submit because you are submitting to a man that loves you, that puts you first, and that you trust him.
Now, and even in submission, and it's a very hard place to be, because sometimes in our own thinking, and we get in hard places, and we may feel that our suggestion, our thoughts, or the way we should handle a situation may be more, what can I say, right?
Yeah,
it's better. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the whole scenario, but I find that in those situations, I just pray about it. I try not to push my agenda. I take it to the Lord, and I said, Lord, this is how you want me to respond, and this is how I will. But I'm trusting that because the heart of the king is in your hands, mm-hmm. you will turn it in a way that will favor us yes. in this situation and bring honor and glory to your name. And I find over the years it works. That the Lord in his wisdom and in his way of dealing with things would literally work in the heart of my husband to bring about, it may not go exactly the way I wanted it to play out, but at the end result,
it's the best result.
It's the same, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Or it is the best result. So mm-hmm. communicating our thoughts and feelings puts us in a vulnerable place, because sometimes we feel that it's a competition. This one will get the upper hand, or this one will win this argument. But it's not about winning an argument. Mm-hmm. It's allowing the Lord to work out his grace while we communicate with each other on a particular thing, so he can get glory in the end result, mm-hmm. not for us to get our own way.
Right. And that's why it says, be quick to listen. Because when you're listening, you're not speaking. So you let it rest. Okay, this is what you said. Okay. Slow to speak. Take your time to speak, because you don't want anything or everything in your mind coming out your mouth, because it could cause lasting damage.
It can.
So slow to speak. Don't get angry. And like you say, I think another point, praying together regularly.
Yes.
Every journey begins with a single step. Milestones come and go. But financial security, that lasts a lifetime. At CFAO, we're here through every chapter, every choice, every change. CFAO, growing wealth for future generations.
The Bible says, if whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done by my Father in heaven. All you need is the two of you. If your hearts and your minds are focused on God, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you.
Yeah. When we pray together, it helps us to connect on matters. We take it before the throne of grace together. It increases our spiritual intimacy as brothers and sisters in Christ, yep. as well. You know, we go before God as husband and wife. We make our requests known. We know, you know, he hears us and he will answer us. And that creates a spiritual intimacy. And for women, I know that's very important. Very important.
And it can be kind of difficult for men.
It can be.
That intimacy where you're sharing, you know, I have an 8-year-old nephew, and I'd ask him, what happened? Nothing. Nothing. I say, yes, it's something. Tell me nothing, Annie Pam. Nothing.
Doesn't want to have a conversation
does not want to have a conversation right now. But I think that's where patience come in. Yeah. And you work together, and you You look for the small wins, like when you're having a meal together, pray together. You know, let someone lead in prayer when you're having a meal. Those little small wins, you could do that and build up to where you have a partnership where the two of you can join hearts and mind together and pray to God for whatever is in your life or whatever you both desire God to do. Could be in the family, could be in your business, could be anything where you are agreeing together. And I think that's very important.
Yeah, when we pray together, you know, we're inviting God into our relationship and into our challenges, our dreams, our daily life. So it invites us a divine intervention and wisdom and peace. We're on one accord. We're not, one spouse is over here praying, the other one is just doing. But when we go before God together, then our hearts align.
The oneness.
The oneness. Mm-hmm. It brings oneness. And that's what it's about. And even emotional support, because let's say you're having a tough time on your job and you sometimes you want to bear that burden alone. But if you have a good communication with your spouse, let's pray about it. So praying together creates a safe space for you to be vulnerable, you know. You're praying to God. You're sharing with God your heart, and your spouse is hearing that too. So you can express your fears and your hopes and your needs. And it builds trust as well, because if we're before the Lord together, and we're being transparent with Him, and you're vulnerable, then there's a level of trust that you're building between you and your spouse that you probably would not get to that level if it wasn't through you praying together. Yeah.
And you have to honor that. When you have that emotional vulnerability, you have to honor that. You know, in Genesis 2 and 25, it says, they were both naked and they felt no shame.
Naked, right? And not ashamed.
Naked and not ashamed. And so there should be that safe space, that prayer and praying together can help with you showing your vulnerability to this person without fear that they're going to use it against you or they're going to throw it back in your face next row day, but you feel safe.
What's it, next row day? Oh, not cutting on those days. We're not cutting on those days at all. But when we think about marriage, we're thinking about, you know, we hear in our vows, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave or cling to his wife. And when we think about that, what things might God be asking us to leave in order to become one? Leaving and cleaving and weaving your lives together. That's God's blueprint. But what are some of the things do you think that God might be asking us to leave in order to become one?
Some of our ways sometimes. Selfishness and pride. You know, Philippians told us to do nothing out of selfish ambition. If you bring pride and selfishness into a marriage, it's going to cause problems.
Pam, we can get selfish sometimes.
Yeah, thinking about ourselves. It goes back to the oneness and one flesh tomorrow when we grasp that. When the word says we are one, generally speaking, you're not going to hurt yourself, right? So if I am one with my husband and I think to do something that will possibly hurt him, I shouldn't, because I'm hurting myself.
But we're not being mindful of that. Sometimes that's not the first thought. Because let's be honest, sometimes we get in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We have to admit that because of the fall, we battle with some things and we allow our selfish ambition and desires to get into or divide or create strife or disunity because we want to advance our own agenda. And thank God for the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, that we can, through His word, our devotions and our time with Him, be corrected in some of the things that we try to advance or to accomplish, try to say, get one over the other spouse, because we want our own way or we want to advance our own cause. So that selfishness creates disunity. It doesn't create harmony and oneness that God wants in the relationship. And the way to kind of overcome that is to examine yourself.
And that's why it's so important to pursue unity.
Yes.
When you get in this relationship, we're going to pursue unity. There was a very, very popular or famous person. I wouldn't call their name, but I watched a video when he said his dad told him, you shouldn't have to work on a marriage. If you have to work on a marriage, that's time to get out.
Oh, boy.
But I differ.
Yeah.
You should work. You have to. And if you come into this marriage on one mind and the both of you are pursuing unity, then when you acknowledge these ways, you would quickly seek forgiveness, which is very important in a marriage as well. You have to be quick to forgive. Remember now, we are comparing marriage to Christ and his bride, which is the church. We are the church. We as individuals make up the church. Mm-hmm. And we think about us going to Christ over and over and over again. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. Spare me, Lord. Don't let this happen to me because of what I did. And that's what Christ is saying to us. I know tomorrow it's not easy because we are humans. And so we are flesh.
We like to hold offense.
Yeah.
But he encourages us to be kind to one another.
Be kind, tender-hearted, loving one another, forgiving one another. That's what he's asking us to do. Yeah. So because we are humans and we constantly going to God for forgiveness, in marriage, there are going to be conflicts.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to say things you should not say. Sometimes you're going to act in a certain way that you should not act, but you have to be quick to seek forgiveness and to forgive.
One of the things I think too, when we talk about what is God asking us when it comes to leaving or wants us to leave in order for us to become one or push us towards unity, there are some relationships that get in marriages, whether it's the in-laws or work life type thing. There are some things that hinder unity and oneness. And so when we think about those things, and I often think about it, even in my own marriage, having three children and trying to manage your relationship with your spouse and prioritizing the need of my husband over the children. Because children can be demanding, even adult children, you have to kind of prioritize what's needful. You don't need me for that. I need to put my time to be placed here. And even like I had a conversation with one of my daughters the other day. I'm like, okay, this is mommy and daddy's room. You're a big girl now. You're a woman. You know, she prides herself as being the Velcro child. You guys always have to be that. No, you're an adult now. You can't come in here, in and out. Like you're the toddler. Mm-hmm. So it's putting parameters in place to protect what should be a space just for you and your spouse. And even work life, you know, you sometimes work overwhelms you. You get caught up and you know you should be cut off at a certain time so you can be home and prepare for your spouse. But you're like, no, I got to finish this report and they have to wait. But all of those things create tension. And you have to be mindful of what works and don't work and what your spouse could tolerate. And sometimes we take them for granted.
Yeah.
And they create disunity in marriage.
Right. And in that pursuit of oneness, then you think of yourself as partners. You're communicating and you're talking about these things together. Don't stay in silence and allow it to fester.
Or disregard when they do communicate.
Yeah.
Because like they can be communicating it, but sometimes you disregard it.
Yeah. And that's where patience. If you understand the person that you're with, you know what they're like. You know what will work, what will not work. I don't know if you ever had this experience, but I have it not just in marriage, but across the board. Like you have to say something and you will role play in your mind. like how this conversation will probably play out, right? And then when you get talking to the person, it is totally different, like from what you role play right. in your mind, because you figure, okay, you know, I remember my niece was off to school and I went to call, like, I would say, let me call her to see how she was doing, to, you know, catch up on her. And she would answer you with one line. So how's everything going? Okay. So what are you up to? Nothing. So
she didn't feel like conversating.
No, that's constantly. That's all, every time. It was one word. There's one word that they would say, you know, no lead on sentences. One word that they would say. But that's where patience come in, Tamara, yes. And communication. So that when these challenges come up, you create this safe space so that you can talk about it, because we are a partner.
Yeah.
And we are looking out for each other. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want you to hurt me. So this is the situation. Let's see how we can address this together.
Yes. And Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the bond of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the unity of the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
You have to fight for it tomorrow. You
fight for agreement. Mm-hmm. Means choosing unity over pride or ego.
Every day, all the time. Yes. And you know what I notice? You start it and it becomes easier and easier and easier. But you first have to do it. Yes. The first time when, even if you didn't do something, you say, forgive me.
Yes.
It melts the heart.
It does. It does. Can you close us in prayer, please?
Tamara, let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for revealing your heart for marriage. From the Garden of Eden to the covenant at the altar. Father, you design marriage not just as companionship, but as a reflection of your love, unity, and purpose. Lord, help us to return to that original blueprint. Where there has been confusion, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you bring clarity. Where there is distance, Father, bring closeness and teach us to walk in oneness, not just in form, but in faith, in grace, Father, and in truth. And Father, for those preparing for marriage, may they build on your foundation, Heavenly Father. And to us, Father, who are already walking this journey, Father, may we discover joy, healing, and purpose in our marriage covenant. And I pray that every marriage represented here in this room and to those that are listening to us, Father, reflect your beauty from the garden beginning to a lifelong altar of surrender. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pam. And thank you, listening audience.